This podcast is brought to you in part by The Pop Insider. The Pop Insider has all the latest in news, merch reviews, and other geeky goodness. Whether you're a wizard, a Sith Lord, or a superhero, fuel your fandom at thepopinsider.com.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back to Geek Watch 1, everybody. And, man, only a couple, if you think about it, it's only a couple of weeks until we get to Christmas. And we could pretend that we only bought this really cool, expensive stuff because it was Christmas.
If we didn't get it.
We can just buy it and just celebrate Christmas for the next 6 weeks.
Well, you got to finish celebrating your birthday first.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. An entire month of celebrating your birthday and then an entire month of celebrating Christmas.
There you go, yeah.
I kicked myself after we got off the air last week because I forgot to tell you happy birthday, brother.
Well, thank you.
It a long way.
Man. It's I 50 doesn't feel like I thought 50 would feel, but I don't know what
that's
because
none of us have gotten past the age of 12.
Right. Speak for yourself.
Well, you know, when you were a kid and like somebody, you know, when somebody said they were 30, you're like, oh my God. And then you hit 20 and you realize you're not that far from 30. But
the worst is once you, when you're a kid, you look in 50, it's how old your grandparents are. It's like, wow, yep. Grandma and Grandpa are 50 and 55 and
yep, almost dead.
Right. But you know what? At the same time, like when we were kids, you didn't have 50-something-year-olds doing action movies. I mean, Tom Cruise was 57 when he did the last Mission Impossible movie. He was the same age as John Voight was in the first one. If you look at the first one and you look at the most recent, there was like John Voight had no action scenes at all. I came out from that movie bruised. And at the stuff that Tom Cruise put himself through.
The difference is nowadays there's much better chemistry to help people look better and act better. And they are much better health and fitness wise, knowing what will keep certain things going, how to keep people feeling younger and things like that.
Right.
But I think a lot of it is chemistry, biochemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they say you're only as young as you feel. So, you know.
I'm 97.
I don't know. I mean, was it George H.W. Bush? He was 90 when he jumped out of an airplane. Well, no, the last time. So, you know. Yeah, you could if you want to feel young again, you just jump out of an airplane.
You got to do it one time first.
Right.
I would consider it if I could actually afford to take all the lessons at it, because anybody who doesn't realize skydiving is expensive.
Well, yeah, but you know, they have those deals for half price for the first one.
Yeah, half price.
So, Kyla, we're going to GoFundMe so you and I can go jump out of an airplane?
Dude, it's on my list. It's going to happen. And within the next 2 years,
so
I'm jumping.
The reason it's so expensive is because of the insurance. They have to have liability insurance for these things.
Yeah. Within the next 2 years, I'm jumping out of a plane. I'm serious.
So we got to set up a thing, and you know what? We got to look back at it because we have a Patreon that we've not done anything with since we started it. we make the big tier where we get to jump out of an airplane.
You realize your wife might not let you.
Hey, we just make sure not to tell Dawn and Vicky.
Don already knows.
Oh, you guys can do it. I don't care.
She's got good insurance on you.
Although they do have weight restrictions.
That's the reason why I said 2 years.
That's why you got to work on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm already dropping on mine some, so.
And your issue is going to be the height, because they'll do tandem. And I don't know if they'll be able to find somebody tall enough. You're going to be a ball strapped to this dude's chest.
Strap me to his chest in a fetal position like a little baby.
That's probably what you end up doing.
It could be fun. Hey, we were talking about getting old, but dude, I got anybody listening to here, pay attention coming up because I've not wrestled in a while. I'm actually working on that. We may be actually seeing me back in a wrestling ring within the next couple of months.
Awesome.
You're going to be Krang.
Huh? Oh, she thinks I'll be Krang in the belly. But that's something cool that's happening on our side is I've been working out anyway because I needed to drop some weight. I had some other issues, and it's helping with all that. But it's like, you know what? The only time I've ever really been in shape was when I was wrestling.
Right.
So pay attention. Anybody – I don't usually plug that stuff on here, but anybody check out Blackhawk on Facebook. You can go through my personal Facebook page and find it, and I'll put any details up there or when it's going to be going on.
Right.
So – I put up a tease earlier this week on Blackhawks just because I've not done any posted anything for like a year or two. Just let everybody know, hey, something's going to be happening here.
Right.
So, but I think we'll be, if nothing else, it'll definitely be on YouTube when I'm doing it. So you'll be able to see it and will see it me get beat down.
Will it be with the same organization or another one?
It's the one I'm working with, the one that I've been helping train and stuff here in town. So it's a different one than the one I was doing when I did the Hall of Fame thing.
Okay.
So, but what's going on for you guys right now, other than to just us discussing how to jump out of an airplane?
Well, you know what? Last week, because lately I kind of got, I guess I got hooked on HGTV.
Wow. You know what? It's because you guys are doing all that work on the house.
I'm to blame because, quite honestly, I can have those on, those shows on HGTV on nonstop.
And now the thing is, I'm not handy, and I'm okay with that, you know. But the thing is, I like the business side when it comes to, like, the shows where they're flipping houses. So it's interesting watching that process. So the other day, I'm just sitting there and I was talking to Dawn, and I said, you know what? I wonder. I said, you know, it'd be cool if there was a game out there where you could actually flip houses. And then I said, well, let me look.
And guess what?
There is a game that's out there where you renovate, buy, and flip houses.
Yeah.
Literally,
it's called House Flipper.
It's called House Flipper. And it got like...
It took this long for us to discover.
It's a 9.5 out of 10. And
if you're like me and you play The Sims because you like building and decorating the houses and really don't care about their lives, this is the game.
Yeah.
Because you get to have your houses and you paint things and you actually like fix electrical stuff and you install sinks and you can demolish walls, which is really fun. They give you a sledgehammer and everything. And like, it's completely kind of like one of those shows.
And it takes you through the process of how to do certain house things, like how to replace a socket, how to install a sink.
Yeah, it's not just a matter of clicking the one thing and it's replaced. You actually have to click where it shows you where the screws are and where the wires go, and that's the kind of dorks we are.
Yeah.
Hey.
So I kind of got hooked on that. Now, mind you, I was feeling good because I completed Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and then I also got Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War coming because it's coming out at the end of this week. So by the time you guys hear this, it's going to be on Friday. So I pre-ordered the game because hashtag my birthday. So I was thinking, well, you know,
And you already had Target gift cards.
And I already had Target gift cards. So then I figured I would just kind of play this a little bit. And yeah, now it's kind of like, oh, crap. But I'll be able to, you know, split time between, you know, flipping houses and saving the world from communism. So, you know.
Well, it's interesting you're talking about that House Flipper game. It's like we were talking to Jessica last night about
Jesse.
Well, yeah, but there's the one YouTube channel she watches. Basically, is just the guys improvising and riffing while they're playing video games. Mm-hmm. And they actually sat down and made a video game because one guy loves dating simulators. Now they're huge in Asia.
Yeah,
not as much here. And it's basically just it's like the old school. From what I've seen of them, it looks like the old school, like Sierra role playing games. We're sitting there just talking the conversation back and forth and choosing two or three different the different responses and stuff. And it's just, I don't get it. It's not for me. But yeah, they had made a game that was an American version of that. It's like, wow, you're talking about house flipping, dude. Anything out there depending on where you're at, a lot of times it's not America. We're all about action games, sports, action, role playing games with action and stuff like that. You got to be able to blow something up. That's the majority of what American games are. But elsewhere in the world, they have all kinds of stuff. There's fishing. Well, even in America, there's some, but they're not as big. There's fishing games.
Yeah, well, I mean, simulator games have always been a thing. Back to Atari and Commodore 64 and everything.
Yeah,
you had like the jet pilot simulator.
Yes,
you know, simulator games that had nothing to do with fighting. It was just learning the controls and learning how to do stuff. And that's, I mean, they have the house flipper ones, and they have, like you said, the fishing. They have hunting ones. They have like any kind of thing,
like the flight simulators.
Any kind of thing you can think of, there's a simulator game out there.
Yeah, and like. And actually, that's kind of something that a lot of shows kind of hint at, or kind of sometimes they show how practical they are. Because I think there was like an episode of Leverage where they needed a pilot, and Hardison loved playing flight simulators.
Yep.
The knowledge that he gained from a flight simulator helped him land a 747.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how accurate that is? Well, they try to be kind of as accurate as possible with the flight
they're pretty good on accuracy now.
Well, so, you got to think, a lot of times pilots train on these really advanced flight simulators, which are video games with all the correct, which just happens to have all the correct controls.
Right.
But a flight simulator for a pilot is the same thing as you're playing on your Xbox, just the controls are different.
Iron Eagle.
Or an Iron Eagle. Iron Eagle, that he learned everything in the simulator.
That's true.
And that was the old vector graphics simulators.
I have to admit, I find myself looking forward to having free time to sit down and.
The only problem is that it's a one player game, so like one of us has to sit and watch while the other one plays. But I can give him advice on decorating.
Yeah.
But we're actually playing our own versions of the game, because like on PS4 we have our own logins. So we're each playing the game, and I told Kylan, it's like it's whoever has the most money after a certain amount of time, that's who wins.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's the cool thing, like that one where you're working together on the house, even though only one person has the controls. That's what I always loved about games like Final Fantasy, or some of the role-playing games, or Tomb Raider even. Tomb Raider is an action game, but there is so much you have to sit down and think your way through that you can have a room full of people, you're all playing the game, even though you don't all have the controls.
Right.
It was terrible like that in Riven. Remember those?
I played Myst for a bit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was nothing but puzzles, and that's all it is. There was no action to it at all. It was just puzzle. But those are the ones you need a whole group of friends to just have fun, take an evening, and just play a game. So I have no idea where we were going from there.
Oh, we were talking about what we were doing what we were doing this week. Yeah.
So that was that. So, before we get too much farther, though, we actually got an update from our buddy Charlie Murphy at Stray Dog. And this is actually, a lot of this is local news for here, but anybody who's outside of the area can still check with him. You can get all of your sauces, your mustards and barbecue sauces. He has a whole line of custom sauces from Stray Dog at Stray Dog Akron that are phenomenal. And actually, that leads into the first thing he has here. He's actually, anybody who actually may have a store or have a local grocery around you or a convenience store that sells local merch or local products, he's actually looking for stores to get their mustards into for retail. They're fully licensed for retail sale.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. For their mustards and everything else. Right now, he's actually, if anybody is in the Northeast Ohio region, they're actually looking for they're hiring someone to do mustard sales and marketing, a manager to do just work on that part of the business.
A mustard manager.
And he actually has that here. Mustard sales and marketing manager.
Mustard manager.
So he wants you to manage his mustard.
That would be a fantastic title. Hi, I'm mustard manager for Stray Dog. It would make no sense.
Anybody who thinks they have what it takes for that, go to Stray Dog Akron's Facebook page and you can apply right there, he said. If not, you can get a hold of them on Stray Dog Akron and he'll tell you how to take care of that.
If you can manage that mustard, apply for that job.
Right.
That's right. He's also, Charlie has a brand new big blue barbecue truck.
Right. We've been talking about his barbecue for a little bit now because he was about to debut it, and he finally has.
Well, as of recording today was the first time he's actually had it out. It's actually out in Ravenna, Ohio, which you guys, this is well past where you're at right now because you guys are hearing this in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But check out the check out, once again, his Facebook page for Stray Dog to find out. They are booking events and things now, so you can actually have the Big Blue Barbecue truck show up at your event for barbecue and whatever else he's got on the truck with him.
Right.
And the last thing he had was, I am not a spicy food person at all. I mean, at all. I don't even like mild barbecue sauce. Or not mild, but mild buffalo sauce.
Okay.
But Charlie has a few of these left. They're half-gallon jars of his habanero pickles.
Special edition.
Special edition. Once they're gone, they're gone. Right. Now, right now, he has them at the library in downtown Akron at the cafe there. He has a couple jars left. So anybody who's interested in that, you can go check him out there. Or, like I said, go to his Facebook page, find out if they may be able to ship these. I don't know.
I don't know about shipping pickles, but, you know, if at least if you're nearby, you could give him a call and have him hold it for you and go pick it up when it's convenient.
Exactly. Or if you're somewhere that maybe the barbecue trucks come into that general area.
Never know. Right. Charlie will hold his pickle for you.
That's right. He'll hold his pickle and give it to you.
And let you put it in your mouth.
That's right. So that's Charlie Murphy. That's Stray Dog at Cafe 388 here in Akron, Ohio. But there, it's easy to get a hold of anywhere in Northeast Ohio to get a hold of Charlie.
Right.
That's right.
So that's all of that. Miss Dawn, what's happening in the geek world? Because the real world is still going bananas, but it's slowly starting to shake itself out. We're not going to worry about any of that stuff.
One of the things that happened it was newsworthy. If you watch the show, I know the those of us who are into it watched the latest episode of The Mandalorian this past week.
Oh yeah, it warms my heart so much to hear you say those of us into it, and you're including yourself.
I am into that show. that's all I'm giving you. But those of us into another show, and I know there's a lot of American fans out there. That particular show is called Kim's Convenience, and we got to see a fantastic cameo on The Mandalorian this week from Paul Sun-Hung Lee, who plays Appa on Kim's Convenience.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. The cameo I thought of was the other pilot.
He shows up as Carson Teva, one of the pilots that, I guess you could say, escorts the Mandalorian and ultimately saves his butt from the spider creatures.
So you're saying he plays an escort?
Yes. He does play an escort. That's right. Mm. Now, the cool thing about this is, for those who may not know but who are familiar with Kim's Convenience, Paul is a big Star Wars fan. He's a big sci-fi fan in general, and he's also a cosplayer. And so I found out, I went and looked up some of the stuff he said about actually appearing on the show. And his journey actually began a couple years ago in 2018 when he bumped into Deborah Chow, who is an old friend from working at Toronto's Factory Theater. And she mentioned she was shooting a show called The Mandalorian. And she told him that Dave Filoni happened to be a fan of Kim's Convenience and wanted to write a part for him.
Oh.
And being an avid cosplayer, Paul is actually known for intricate costumes and props he creates for everything from Ghostbusters to Star Wars. He has a full collection of these things he's created. He does troopers, he does officers, he does pilots. He's got all sorts of costumes that he's done himself. And his hobby actually proved useful when he went for his costume fitting to play this rebel pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Because members of the wardrobe department were struggling with how to attach an ejection harness. And he intervened and he basically said, if you guys don't mind, I've actually built this costume and I have on my phone meticulously curated photos of how it works. And so he showed them his photos and they were able to attach and buckle the harness.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because of the costume he created. And the other awesome thing was that the wardrobe department wanted a photo of him in costume, but his helmet hadn't been painted yet. It was still being painted.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took out a prop from the original Star Wars film for him to wear for the photo.
Oh.
And he recognized it immediately. And he said, I look at it because I know the pattern, and I said, is that Biggs' helmet? And they said, yeah, how'd you know that? And I was like, because I'm a nerd.
So he wore Biggs' helmet.
He wore Biggs' helmet. Yeah.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
At that point, he said he started crying. Because he remembered seeing the original movie with his dad and his sister and stuff, and just all connected.
So, I'm getting goosebumps. I mean...
See, there's a cool story.
Now I got to go back and watch it again.
I mean, how would you... I mean, number one, to be such a big fan, to have the opportunity to become a part of that world.
Yeah.
And not to just become a part of that world, but to touch.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
To touch history.
Yeah.
And
I understand what he said. Well, hang on. When he said about being emotional when he thought of what that was, because it's weird because I went to that Star Wars costume exhibit that was when it was in Cincinnati. And it was weird, and I have no idea what happened, but when I first walked around the corner, the first thing you saw was Obi-Wan's costume from A New Hope on the mannequin is the first thing when you turn around the corner, and right. I actually got emotional. It was weird.
You weren't the only one.
Yeah, I wasn't the only one. Luckily, I wasn't the only guy that was shedding a tear.
Right.
But it's one of those things I have no idea why. I can't explain why it happened. It just did.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you have, you know, when you have that connection to some kind of pop culture that has basically been there your entire life,
mm-hmm.
you know? And of course, the other thing is he's, you know, he talked about how you've always seen Star Wars as being kind of an inclusive universe. But he said when he was a kid, he was a little disappointed that he never saw anyone like him in
right.
the Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
right.
He's really proud of the fact that as a Korean Canadian, he can bring that to it as well.
Right.
Even though it's obviously gotten more diverse over the years, but he's kind of happy about that fact mm-hmm. that he can broaden the inclusion as well.
Right.
So I just thought that was and he's a cool guy to follow on Twitter if you want to see his costumes. He posts pictures on Twitter all the time. And actually just the other day, the Kim's Convenience Twitter actually posted some of his costumes mm-hmm. because of this cameo. But he also talks a lot about the show. And if you follow him, he's likely to follow you back because he did that with me. Like he follows me on Twitter now.
Cool.
Which is really weird. But his Twitter name is Bitter Asian Dude.
Well, you know, and that show, so that two of the Leeds Nest show are both now getting mouse money because...
Yeah, you got him, and then, of course, Simu Liu is in the show as well, and he's going to be in a Marvel movie.
And those two, like, I mean, it's awesome when you find out what big nerds certain celebrities are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, I just kind of love that.
And actually, it's not certain celebrities, because there's probably a lot more than everybody expects that are actually nerds and geeks.
True.
Yeah.
True.
And actually, the one that plays Amma on the show, the wife, the mom,
mm-hmm.
she was in, is it The Expanse? That
she? Yeah, she was in The Expanse, yeah.
So she's in the sci-fi show as well.
Yeah, so.
Everywhere. Okay, so on to actual news from this week.
That was actual news.
I know it was. It was an actual news story, it was. Because actually it was on the CBC had it, so you know it's good if the CBC carries it.
That counts as Canadian content.
It is Canadian. This is our Canadian content.
We are an international show, you know.
Until we get to our final story of the show, yes, that's Canadian content. Anyways, we got news that wasn't so surprising that after two seasons on Hulu, Castle Rock has been canceled. It had been a while since we'd heard anything about the show, and if you're not overly familiar with it, this was the Stephen King universe show. Basically, it wasn't specifically based on any story written by him. It was influenced by him. It was set in Maine. It had the first season dealt with a lot of Shawshank kind of stuff. The second season was kind of a mix of the background to Annie Wilkes from Misery, as well as some Salem's Lot thrown in. If you like Stephen King, the Easter eggs were great. All the references were great. But the reason it's really not surprising is that Warner Brothers TV and J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot they were behind the show, and they're currently working on Overlook for HBO Max. And that's a prequel series to The Shining.
Okay.
So they didn't want, obviously, competing Stephen King shows on different services.
Right. Well, yeah.
They want to draw you to their own service. So
they're going to take that The Shining and get every drop they can out of it now that they have the rights for it, aren't they?
Right. Exactly. I mean, I have to say, Dr. Sleep, the sequel, wasn't great.
It wasn't.
But I guess it was based on the book, so I guess I would say the book wasn't great, but I didn't read the book. Right. But I wasn't happy with it. I didn't think it was as creepy good as it could have been. Anyway, moving on. We got some casting news from The Walking Dead. Now, I know we don't really watch that show anymore. Kylan and I gave up a few seasons ago. I know you guys weren't watching it either.
Yeah, we were for a while, but when we cut off cable, we ended up losing our chance to be able to watch it. And we've just not gone back at this point. It's way too far back.
It went downhill anyways the past few years, and it's coming to an end soon enough. So, except for all the spinoffs they're coming up with.
Look up the spoilers and find out who died.
Yeah.
Yeah. What one thing we do know is the character of Negan, and we know his beloved Lucille, his baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire, and we also know that it was named after his wife, Lucille. Well, they have finally cast her, which means we're obviously going to get some backstory, and because obviously his wife is dead. She died of cancer, not an actual zombie bite, but she did get zombified after dying and, you know, all that in the comics. But awesomely, they have cast One Tree Hill vet and frequent Lifetime actress Hilary Burton in the role of Lucille. The reason this is awesome is because that is Jeffrey Dean Morgan's actual wife, the one who plays Negan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet. Yeah, so
husband and wife working together. Although, you know, they have a fantastic relationship, but it'll be interesting to see what happens on screen because that wasn't a fantastic, even though he's obsessed with Lucille, that was not a fantastic relationship in the comics. Like he cheated on her and stuff. And, but in the comics, you don't actually get a lot from Lucille's point of view when she was alive. So they have kind of a lot of places they can go with what they do with her.
Okay.
So it should be interesting. And recently during the pandemic and such, Morgan and Burton have actually been doing an online show. Like, I think it's called Friday Night with the Morgans or something like that. Where they just kind of chat.
Okay.
It's kind of a talk show kind of thing, but it's just a random at home show, that they've been doing. So it's kind of cool, but yeah, so from one show involving a former Supernatural star to another show about to involve a soon-to-be former Supernatural star, the Walker reboot finally got a teaser trailer.
Yes!
It's not much of anything, honestly. No. It's just his badge spinning around and slamming into a piece of wood. But you get voiceover from Jared Padalecki, so you get touch of the story. It's not a very long teaser from CW, but it also lets you know that this reboot is premiering on January 21st.
So, okay, new president on the 20th, new Walker on the 21st.
Well, also, the other bonus to this means that that's about when we're going to get all the rest of the CW shows finally coming back, because CW premieres everything at the same time, within 2 weeks of each other.
Right.
So all of our superhero shows will come back at that same time.
Walker's a superhero.
Well, we never know. On this being CW, he might be.
But the 21st is a Thursday. I don't know for sure that we're getting it staying on a Thursday, but that's when it premieres, is on a Thursday. So usually you'll get at least the first couple weeks on the same day. So we'll see if they keep it on Thursday.
That's been Jared Padalecki's night for 15 years.
Not really. They switched Supernatural around.
Oh, yeah. That was all over the place, wasn't it?
It was on Sundays. It was on Fridays.
Originally it was behind Supernatural. What was that?
It was on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays at one point.
Yeah. Well, originally it premiered behind Supernatural, or not Supernatural, Smallville.
Smallville. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's hit like 4 or 5 days of the week, basically. And it has survived.
What I'm hoping is that they're impressed enough with the ratings they're getting off of Swamp Thing, even though it's a show that's already been done and gone, that they want to do more of that one.
Quite honestly, that's why I haven't watched it. I'm only going to watch it if they announce a second season, because I don't want to get caught up and disappointed by that there's a season.
Right. Yeah, that show is amazing.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to fall for it.
No. I mean, because I'd be honest.
Until they say season two. I mean, it's not like CW has not resurrected shows.
Right. Yeah.
So, possibility.
Well, the cool thing was
Hellstrom, like, I'd be honest with you, Hellstrom kind of grew on me. The way it ended, I think I'm okay if there isn't more.
It self-contained is okay, but it could go further.
It could go further. And so the way they ended it was kind of weird. Like, I'm good. with it right now, but I'm kind of low-key hoping for more.
Yeah, we gotta we still gotta finish that one. I think we've seen the first three or four episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, there won't be more because that was technically Marvel Television.
And right.
That doesn't anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Swamp Thing is it's the original Swamp Thing show was just self-contained. It was Swamp Thing in the swamp. This, right. You bring in Madame Xanadu, Blue Devils in it. There's a couple of other deeper cut occult heroes from DC that are already in it. So you know if they get a second season, they'll be definitely looking to Zatanna, to Constantine maybe.
Right.
Right. Etrigan.
I
mean,
dude, that would never happen, but that would be amazing. Get some Jason Blood and Etrigan.
Well, and see that, and that's the thing. Like, obviously, they were trying to create a show that could be more expansive in future seasons,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
then they got shot.
Right.
So it all came down to people wanting that Swamp Thing sex and whether it was going to happen or not. And that was all over the posts at one point. Anyway. I have a couple of rather interesting Star Trek related stories.
Okay.
That I came across. It's basically Star Trek's actual science. So this is for the science geeks and the Star Trek geeks. A neuroscientist has found out what happens to the brain when we die. And apparently what happens in our last dying moments has been hiding in a 1980s episode of Star Trek Next Generation. So the geeky research part of this is that the brain can remain alive for minutes after the heart stops, and within a certain number of seconds, something called cerebral ischemia kicks in, and the neurons slip into sleep mode in a last-ditch attempt to conserve dwindling energy, at which point, theoretically, a brain could be brought back to life. Not necessarily the person, but the brain. But after a few minutes, this thing known as a brain tsunami flashes through the brain and the brain can't handle it, and essentially that's when it dies. So the process was actually described in an episode of Star Trek Next Generation, and the researchers think the mechanism is strangely well illustrated in the episode.
Okay.
So this is what happened in the episode following a run-in with Armus.
Yes.
An evil black sludge monster thing.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Tasha Yar.
Yeah. So basically, Lieutenant Yar is severely injured. Back in the starship's sick bay, the crew watch over her as she slowly dies.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the new scientific research explains, Commander Crusher notes that there is still hope to revitalize her, even though there's technically no brain activity. And a crew member notes that neurons are beginning to depolarize, just as it is specifically explained in the scientific research.
Wow.
And basically one of the researchers said his best guess is that the creators of Star Trek must have found research at that time that detailed a similar process in animals,
mm-hmm.
because that kind of research actually dates back to the 1940s and only recently was being applied to humans.
Right. I mean, cause I know with, in TNG or just in the general, in the Star Trek universe, generally, everything is based on some type of scientific principle.
Until recently.
Well, I mean,
there's some stuff they're just throwing in there that's like, there's no way, there's no basis in anything that they're doing this.
Well, yeah, but that's what people said when Star Trek first came out.
That's true. I mean, got self, you know, and they said, you know, communicators, what are you talking about? Tricorder? Yeah. You know,
my cell phone is a tricorder.
See, so yeah, so I mean, I think that's interesting that we see 30, 40 years later that, you know, they were onto something. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the 1980s were 30 years ago.
30. Yeah, it was late 80s. Never mind.
Kylan, you're 50 now.
No, well, still.
Okay, so the other story has to do with Star Trek Voyager, and it inspired a working microscopic vessel to explore the microverse. This one comes from Dutch physicists who created a microscopic micro-printed ship that looks like the USS Voyager as part of a larger research experiment, and the tiny ship actually moves on its own through liquid.
Oh, nice.
It was highlighted in the paper called, this is the geeky part, catalytically propelled 3D colloidal microswimmers for fans out there.
They made a bunch of mechanical little swimmers.
Mm-hmm. And see, the funny thing is, it's one of several artificial microswimmers that the researchers created. And the Voyager measures microns in size. That's how small it is. Like, we're talking, you can't see it without a microscope. And it's able to move thanks to chemical reactions between its platinum coating and hydrogen peroxide solution it's placed in. The Voyager shape, as well as the others in the study, were actually specifically chosen to produce results different than the more typical sphere shapes that they tend to use in this type of research. So they're basically seeing if other shapes can do the jobs better that they're looking for. And it was also used to test the abilities of their macroscopic 3D printer. This is literally a 3D printer that produces things that you can't see without a microscope.
Wow.
Like, how awesome is that?
I sit there once in a while and think, it's like, wow, how do you build a machine that's only like atoms wide? I mean,
right. It's amazing. So basically the whole point of this research, these micro vehicles are intended to help them learn more about biological micro swimmers, which includes things like bacteria and sperm and blood cells, basically how things move through your body.
Mm-hmm.
And gaining the better understanding of how those work can eventually help pave the way for medical uses of these synthetic micro swimmers in applications like therapeutic diagnostics to figure out what's wrong with someone from the inside, or drug delivery, more effective delivery of drugs to systems or specific areas for people, that kind of thing.
So it's like Fantastic Voyage without actually shrinking people.
Or Interspace, man. Remember that one?
Interspace, yeah. There you go.
Yep. Wow.
Well, the cool thing is the medical stuff on there, it'd be interesting to see, because doing the microscopic and arthroscopic surgeries that they have now, imagine what they could do if they could go even smaller and they could actually do surgery at the micro or atomic level.
That's
right. So nanobots are real.
Yeah.
Watch out. Here comes the Borg. Nanites. That's all these are. These are nanites. Star Trek had all kinds of nanites all over the place.
Terminator.
Or Terminators, yeah.
Oh, Metal Gear Solid.
There you imagine go. Skynet takes over these things and everybody has these in their body already.
It happened on Baymax.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, wow.
The hippie was the one that was able to save everybody because it confused the protocol, the robots.
Yeah. We've been watching Big Hero 6, so they talk about some of that type of stuff too.
They did it. They turned against you. They made them turn against each other.
Oh, yeah, the security bots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, that if you've not got a chance to watch the Big Hero 6 TV series, it is awesome.
I have a ton of stuff I have to catch up with. I'm still trying to get through Renegade, and then
I'm still finishing up. I'm almost halfway through the ninth season of Smallville. I got like one more season after this.
Hey, I just finished Hannibal, so that was only three seasons. So I'm good.
Yeah. Well, hey, anybody who needs something to watch, remember, Animaniacs comes out on November 20th. First five seasons, or whatever it is they have on, is all on Hulu, ready to go. So you could binge Animaniacs until the new season starts on the 20th. But they've only got like 8 or 10 episodes.
I don't know if that's a show to binge, though. You go crazy with all those songs.
Oh, yeah.
And I did see that, I guess, who is it, Amazon now, or HBO Max, is actually bringing back Tiny Toon Adventures now?
Oh, yes!
Love that show.
Back all the right characters. You know.
Right. Well, if they do it the way they do, they're doing Animaniacs, then they'll have it right.
Right.
Because what's her face is not in Animaniacs. You know the girl who had buttons.
Yeah.
Oh, Mindy?
I don't know if it's
Myra.
I don't know if it's because she was abusive to animals or what, but she's not back. They said she's not back.
I, you know what? I like.
I just want good fellas feathers. I just need good feathers.
Are you squawking at me?
We're getting Pinky in the Brain, so that's good.
Yeah.
Are you squawking at me? You must be squawking at me.
I'm just happy that they're bringing back the as much of the original voice cast that wanted to come back, they brought them back.
Yes.
Absolutely. That makes it so much better. there have been so many bad reboots and continuations because they changed the look of things, they changed the voices, they don't match at all. It just doesn't, yeah. I'm looking at you, Powerpuff Girls.
I knew that's where you were going.
Yeah.
I was disappointed severely. And Thundercats, those new Thundercats.
I don't even, I can't.
That's not Thundercats.
No.
But that's okay. Mattel's.
I think you can stream the original. It's either Hulu or.
It's out there anyway.
Or what, Thundercats?
Yeah.
Thundercats, I believe, is Hulu.
So, yeah, go back, watch the original.
Well, the cool thing is Mattel's is doing it right with Masters of the Universe. They have two shows coming. So they've got the one for the kids, and then Kevin Smith is doing the one for people who remember the original.
Oh, that's going to be good.
And Kevin Smith running a show, a kids show.
They're doing again.
Hopefully it's right this time. Yeah.
Well, the one they did in, what is it, the 2000s reboot? The one they did there was not bad. The problem is where they put it, I think.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the 2000 reboot. But it was like you said, I think it's where it was. It was kind of like what they did with that reboot of Thundercats. I was okay with it. There were some things that they changed. I didn't see why they needed to change it. But overall, I was okay with it.
Well, I think what happened to that one, and probably the same thing that happened to the Masters of the Universe reboot, was these are still created to sell toys. When the toys don't sell, they don't put more money into it.
Right.
The nostalgic, all of us adults that are nostalgic for it and love the originals are not always buying the toys. Especially if the toys were not made for us. They're made for the little kids.
Right.
So, you got to know your audience and who's trying to actually see this thing.
Exactly.
So, anything? What else we got, Ron?
That's all I had for the actual news, because as we know, the real world had a lot of news going on the past week.
So the geek news backseat. Yeah. Well, as we're getting ready to record today, some big news, and this actually does fall. It's interesting because this is game show news, but it falls into the geek world heavily. Kylan, you want to cover this one? We don't like to end on a down note, but we're going to turn this into a positive.
Just prior to us recording this, we found out that Alex Trebek had passed. He was 80 years old, and publicized that he had a fight with cancer.
It was pancreatic cancer, and he announced it back in 2019.
Yeah.
So it had been quite a while.
Yeah.
And he had gone into remission at one point, but it came back, and so so he's passed on, and so that's yet again 2020.
There's been a few losses this year that have seriously sucked.
Yeah.
But actually, this kind of the plus side on this is that a couple years ago, LeVar Burton tweeted that he would love to replace Alex Trebek as the next host of Jeopardy. Now, earlier this year, there was a petition. That's what it is. I can't find the words. There was a petition started to make LeVar Burton to replace Alex Trebek as host.
Well, and one of the reasons they were talking about that was because of Alex's announcement about having cancer, and people weren't sure if he was going to ultimately retire, although he said he was just going to continue as long as he could.
Right, and which he did. He worked up until...
I don't know how many more episodes we'll be getting. They'll probably announce when his last episode is.
Right.
When the last new episode is of his.
Yeah, I know he had already made plans for... I mean, obviously he wasn't expecting when this happened, because he had already had a plan on how to... an actual exit strategy for him for the show. Because I guess they... Right. And he had said it wasn't... He didn't want a big tribute show or anything like that. He had like a small speech that he wanted an extra 5 minutes at the end of the show. Just to say goodbye, and then he would walk away. But obviously he didn't get that chance, because we would have known that was coming.
Mm-hmm. Unless he recorded that some time ago.
That's and they're going to add it to the end of somewhere?
Add it to the end somewhere. So, you know what? I'm a Trek fan, obviously. And I would love the idea of LeVar Burton as being the next host for Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Those of you that don't know what we're talking about,
where have you been?
Yeah. Jeopardy is a game show that basically...
How do you not know at this point? How do you not know what Jeopardy is?
Trebek has been the host since 1984.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot not know. Yeah. And the show itself started in 64.
Right. I mean, there was a little period there where it wasn't on. But I remember when it came back.
But really, all of us here and pretty much the majority of our listeners have lived our entire lives knowing Jeopardy.
Yeah. You know, so.
And it's been Alex Trebek, because I don't remember Jeopardy before him at all. I don't know if I've ever seen an episode that he wasn't the host.
Jack Parr, I believe, was the host for the previous iteration. But I only know, and I believe that's right, but that was way in the 60s. Now, the thing is, Jeopardy has been in video games. It's been in board games. I mean, there's a Jeopardy version. There's a version of Jeopardy that's in Alexa. So it's everywhere. And
yeah. Alex Trebek is in the Guinness Book of World Records for most shows hosted of a game show. When he got in, he was at 6,000 something, and now he was well over 7,000.
Yeah.
By this point.
And you know, so it's one of those games. It's a game where basically, you know, it's trivia, but I'll say trivia on steroids. You kind of really have to.
It is general trivia, but a lot of it you actually have to be knowledgeable in some very specific areas.
Yes.
And very, very often very specific educational areas like science or literature. Every once in a while they'll do pop culture. And then, of course, when they do sports, all the nerds don't know the answers. Which is always funny. And that's why it makes people made people hate Alex Trebek for a while, because he would actually tease them about it.
Right.
So, yeah, I was never the biggest fan of his, even though he's Canadian.
And, you know, I mean, even to the point of drinks, there was one category called potent potables. And yeah. you need to know your drinks.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
And you always had to remember to answer in the form of a question.
Yeah, because right. there were a few times I saw where people got really excited and they would say, blah, whatever the answer was, but it needed to be in the form of a question.
And he would often give people a chance to think about it for a second, how they answered.
Yes.
And then he would just have to take the answer.
Right.
And tell them nope.
Right.
And then the person next to them would say the same thing, but in the form of a question.
Yes.
He's like, yep, you got it right.
Sorry, you have to remember the answer has to be given in the form of a question.
Yeah. So. Well, the interesting thing is, too, a lot of people don't realize that, especially on Jeopardy, he was one of the he was basically the executive producer that ran almost all of it. He's not one of the judges on TV, but when it comes to figuring out the question, he knew most of these answers without the cards in front of him. He was one of the guys helping figure all this stuff out.
Right. Well, I mean, and there's a whole crew that was coming up with the answers and questions too, though. I mean, it makes it easy when you're the host and you do have the answers in front of you. You can seem like you know it all.
And now it was interesting. I mean, because in his time as the host, you know, you had the Tournament of Champions, you had College Week, and that sort of thing.
Celebrities.
A Celebrity Week. But then you also would have they started mixing it up and almost having a fantasy league. And so he would bring back some of the champions and have the champions pick newer players to kind of create a super team, and they would compete against each other in that way too. It was interesting seeing Jeopardy remain relevant in the 30 plus years that it's been around.
If he's been around since the 60s, you're talking over 50 years almost.
Yeah. So
I mean, you just think about the sheer number of questions over all that time.
Right.
And the thing is, for every category, they actually come up with more than five questions, but they only use five.
Yeah.
So they've kind of got a stockpile, and they can go back and, you know, if they come up with a similar category or just repeat the category, but it'll be different questions.
Right.
So they've always had something going on in that regard. And it's always kind of like competing with your friends as you're sitting there trying to yell out the answers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good Housekeeping actually had, back in 2016, they put up a thing. It was the 10 fun facts about Jeopardy, or that every Jeopardy fan should know. And there's some interesting stuff in here about this show. I guess because of it being a game show, they record a bunch of episodes in a week.
Yep.
So right. Alex Trebek, on average, changed his suit 5 times a day.
Yeah.
Because it's a different suit every time.
They usually do a week in a day.
Right.
In one day. Because we actually have a couple friends who have been on Jeopardy.
Yes.
And they just told us how exhausting it was.
Yeah, like I actually Eric that I do Mighty Marvel Geeks with, he was on for College Week, and then we have a friend Derek who was on.
Yeah, he was on.
And yeah, so it's like, and it's, you know, they say, you know, it is exhausting because you have some of these people who like Ken Jennings, who was on like forever.
Yeah,
and that's the next thing on here.
You know, they just, you know, and you see them trip up on what is a seemingly easy question. It's because they've been answering questions for like five or six hours.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Ken Jennings. The second one they have here is the record for the most consecutive games won. Yeah. And that is Utah software engineer Ken Jennings. He won 74 games in a row in 2004. He earned more than $2.5 million on that.
Yeah.
So,
and
in,
I believe he's actually currently a consultant on the show.
Yeah.
Well, he's actually paid by Jeopardy again.
Well, after all of this, I guess he had did an interview with Nightline and said that just that sudden wave of euphoria when I realize I get to go home and tell people I won Jeopardy. Nothing like it before or since he's ever had. Because you got to think, if you win that many games in a row, dude, you win. You've won the whole thing of Jeopardy. Well, do you guys know what Alex Trebek's job was before Jeopardy?
Well, he was basically, he's been a game show. He was a game show host for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And he actually started on a high school quiz show back in Canada.
Ah.
Well, it said here also that I guess before he started, he was also a newscaster for CBS.
Oh, really?
At one point.
That wasn't something that lasted, though.
Yeah.
Right.
But that makes sense because we were talking about earlier how most of these game shows, if they they brought back Family Feud and some of these other ones, they always bring back a stand-up comedian to do it. Right. But this is the type of show that you really, that doesn't work for this. You don't want the comedy and that type of thing on this show. That's why someone like a LeVar Burton would be perfect for this.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of good possibilities as host for this show. You need someone who is fairly, I guess you could say, relatively speaking, conservative, but can have the odd joke here and there, but nothing stupid.
Right. I mean, he like every now and then he would crack, you know, a joke or two, and you know, sometimes they're funny. You know, sometimes they're
usually a little comment, a little aside. Yeah. It's really a flat out joke. And then of course, when he's interviewing the contestants, he often had something to say about like what their hobby was or something.
But he managed for this whole time he was there not to come off as creepy. A lot of game show hosts, when they're talking to the contestants, sometimes come off with this weird little creepy vibe going.
I don't know. Apparently you never paid close attention to how he treated a lot of women.
Ah.
Because quite honestly, that's part of why I wasn't the biggest fan, because he would actually say, like, call them young lady and stuff like that. Like, just the sort of things you don't do.
Yeah, right.
And,
the kind of thing you only do if you're, like, 85 years old.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right.
No, I'm not saying it's right. But, so,
but, I mean, he's still essentially an icon, and he's one of the, you know, you take basically something like Bob Barker. And Alex, like, they're same category. Bob Barker, yeah. Alex Trebek. It's like those big names you know from game shows. Richard Dawson is even up there.
Yeah.
Pat Sajak, even. He's been there. We'll get to that in a minute. So,
Wink Martin. No one's going to know Wink Martin.
Yeah, Wink Martin. Oh, no, come on, I remember. Wink Martindale. He was from Jackson. Yeah. People got to remember him. Tic-tac-doe. Okay.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Well, the next one they had here was Jeopardy actually has won more awards than any other game show in the U.S. They've actually won over 30 Emmys and a Peabody.
And I mean, because they've got some intelligence behind it. Right. It's not like going on Price is Right and you just have to know how to shop.
Yeah.
It's not that, true. Let's just say there's a distinct difference between the kind of people you have on each of those shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, even Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there's like
they're a little more. They're multiple choice on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
That's
You've
true.
Got a chance.
That's true.
Yeah,
true.
Well, you know, this next one's like, go ahead.
Supposedly America's game, Wheel of Fortune. Yeah, because it's stupid enough that anyone can do it.
Well, actually, the next one's actually about that, because it says how Jeopardy, now anybody who's ever watched Jeopardy realizes it has a sister show. It's always got Wheel of Fortune first, then Jeopardy. But that actually means something behind the scenes, that they are sister shows officially. Basically, it means that if you've ever been a contestant on Jeopardy, you cannot be a contestant on Wheel of Fortune and vice versa. So you can't have the same person that shows up on both shows at different times.
I think most contestants on Wheel of Fortune wouldn't be able to pass the Jeopardy test.
Yeah.
Because right. Yeah. There's an actual test you have to take, and it's kind of like trying to get into Mensa. Like, there's a Jeopardy test.
Yeah, it's a test.
Okay. Well, the theme song for Jeopardy, which everybody knows, and as soon as I mention this, all of a sudden it's going to be stuck in your head for the next hour to hour and a half. It was actually written by the original creator of the show, Merv Griffin, and it was an attempt to get his son to fall asleep. He claims it took him only about 30 minutes to write it, or 30 seconds to write it. But no news on if it actually worked to put his kid to sleep. So it was originally designed to be a lullaby for Merv Griffin's son.
Well, the thing is, though, you have the Jeopardy theme, which is at the beginning of the show, but you have the time theme that is the one talking about during Final Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that everyone knows. If you start humming that, everyone knows that they're waiting for you to make up your mind about something.
True.
Because you're wasting time.
Yeah. Well, another something about Alex Trebek that you were talking about, the way he talked to women and stuff, but number 7 on here actually has Trebek's biggest fan is himself. According to Alex Trebek, he says that unless there's a Lakers game on, he will actually watch himself on Jeopardy every night.
That tells you something right there.
Yeah. Number 8, this one was really, really interesting. Writing a New York Times bestseller is easier than getting onto Jeopardy.
See, there you go.
It says, statistically, 1 in 220 people will write a New York Times bestseller in their lifetime, compared to 0.4% acceptance rate for the show.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, you look at the sheer number of people that would be applying on a regular basis to right? any kind of game show.
True.
You know.
The most common category on the show is before and after. It says hundreds of categories have been included on the show over the years, but this one has reappeared over 114 times. Is a popular category requires players to combine the two responses to form the correct answer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last thing they had on here was that Trebek gets a kick out of the out of testy players, literally. In an interview with Ask Men, he remarked, "Contestants don't dare challenge me. I'd kick the crap out of them."
Right.
So. I don't know about that one, but some of these were really interesting stuff. Like, I didn't realize the statistics on actually getting on the show compared to writing a bestseller. That was kind of cool. So, but this show has been around forever. All of us, like Vicky told me a minute ago, all of us grew up watching this, even if it was only once in a while.
Right.
Right.
And, I mean, the basics of the show haven't changed.
No.
Some of the categories, the way they ask the questions, the sets, that's changed. But the basics of it have not changed. It's it's just a trivia show.
Right.
That's really all it is. But and now you have like the, what are they called? The Clue Crew.
Yeah.
The ones who have the live action shots where mm-hmm. they get to travel around and they ask a question from a location. So you get that little video clue.
Yeah, they've been at the Rock Hall.
Yeah, they go to the Smithsonian, they're at a museum or something, depending mm-hmm. on the topic.
Yeah.
But you know, so they've upgraded with their video clues and their music clues mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But it's really kept just the basics the entire time.
Right.
Yeah. So but it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Like you said, they film ahead. So I've not seen the show since the pandemic started, so I'm not sure how they're doing it now. If they're doing it with just, obviously there's no studio audience. But are they doing it like over Zoom, or are they actually still having people in studio? I don't even know.
I think the people are still in studio from the ones I've seen, unless it's repeats. But from what I've seen, it's still in studio.
Well, a show that's this old, you could run repeats from 15 years ago and no one would have any idea what it was.
It's true.
And it being trivia, the questions may be a little bit out of date, but they wouldn't be far enough to actually be a problem.
Right.
And since they film probably over 100 or 150 of these each year, I don't know exactly how many they run, because they do run repeats during the year. But it's like enough of these that are done, I would not be surprised. There's thousands and thousands of episodes out there. So, okay, Vicky distracted me again. But no, this has been a great show. And Alex Trebek, even with problems on air, has been a good host for this, obviously, because he's been there for so long.
Right.
So he will be missed for the show, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. Mm-hmm. So do we have anything else?
The debates over his mustache will be missed.
Yes. That thing comes and goes and goes and comes, and you never know what's going to be up there.
Right. And he's had it. He's had it since he was first appearing on game shows back in the 60s and late 60s and early 70s.
Wow.
He's had the stash.
So, anything else before we move on? I think, actually, I don't know if we have anything to move on to. Anything else we want to cover today?
I believe that is it for the day.
Yeah, I think that's it, man.
So, like I said, end with a little bit of a down note, but not terrible. We knew it was coming. He planned for this, so they already have a plan in place. You know they do.
Mm-hmm.
They probably already have someone that's... You won't be able to replace him, but that'll take the microphone from him.
Right.
Right.
So, that's like anybody else. Like Bob Barker, when he finally retired and Drew Carey took over, Drew Carey could never replace Bob Barker, but he could still hold the microphone.
He can make it, which he's done.
I mean, there's been plenty of game shows where they have switched hosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
when you've got one who's so standing, that makes a difference.
Yeah. Right. Well, look at like Family Feud. They've had, what, 5 or 6 hosts?
Yeah.
Right.
Since the 80s? So, but and it's great that some of these classic game shows are still on the air. And now it's like we're starting to slowly get into almost a renaissance for the older game shows, because they're bringing back older ones, keep coming back.
Right, yeah, we saw Card Sharks is back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Card Sharks.
And the networks are realizing that, for our summer break when no one's watching TV, they'll actually watch game shows.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm waiting for Hollywood Squares to come back. So
man,
I can be sent.
The problem is you could not do Hollywood Squares the way it was done originally. Because some of the stuff that those comedians would say on air, you couldn't do that now.
You can't. It's called late night.
You do on cable, yeah.
It's called late night.
Island Toast for Center Square.
We're going to start.
Well, like Vicky and Jesse. No, but Vicky and Dawn said, late night, they might be able to get away with some of this. But, yeah, if you get a chance, go back and watch some, or even look up video or YouTube videos on Hollywood Squares. And just something like wrong things on it, or because it's insane. Some of the because 70s comedians didn't care.
That Hollywood Squares and Match Game.
Match Game was good.
Yeah, I remember. I think that's probably part of the reason why I'm the way I am. I used to watch watch Match Game with my grandmother, and I don't know.
There's got to be clips on YouTube. If you don't know what Kylan's talking about, go watch some Match Game.
That's what I've heard of. I don't know if I've actually ever seen it. I'll have to check it out.
Oh man, Match Game. Oh,
or you could be really wrong and watch The Gong Show. Go look up the classic popsicle act on The Gong Show.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
I remember watching that, and I'm like, why am I watching this?
Why can't you look away?
Like I was like 5 or 6 years old. I never will forget that.
Well, geeksters. What's your memories of 70s and 80s game shows that really would never make it on TV now? There was a lot of it. And people talk about how far everything's gone now and how nothing could... But no. Everything has to be so politically correct now that you couldn't do anything that you did on 70s TV now.
No.
So, but let us know what you thought of it. And what are your memories of Alex Trebek or anything else we talked about on the show? You can let us know at www.geekwatch1.com. You can get a hold of us anywhere, everywhere at GeekWatch1. If you put GeekWatch1 into a search bar on any social media and you don't get us, let us know and Miss Dawn will take care of the problem.
I'll put that in jeopardy.
That's right. You can also email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. We're also proud members of the Tangent Bound and Weebie Geeks Networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebiegeekspc.com. Also, you can go find our friends Charlie Murphy with Stray Dog at Stray Dog Akron and Cafe 388 on all social media. Also, our friends you heard at the beginning of the show, the Pop Insider, the Toy Insider. Now, the Pop Insider is, they're here, according to their Facebook, it says straight up, we're here to fuel your fandom anywhere, anytime. If you're looking for the hottest new collectibles, weirdest new merch, or the nerdiest games, we got you. Celebrate all things geek and check out our product reviews, entertainment updates, and more. They're really actually very good with the product reviews.
Yeah,
they actually
are.
Get everything that they review. They get in house, they check it all out, and let you know the goods, the bads, uglies, all of it. They don't hold back. So
and
check them out.
They started as Toy Insider, so they're really big on the toy reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for various age groups. They do stuff with it. Is it with Good Housekeeping they do something with? They have recommendations for certain age groups.
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yeah. Well, also, I found out their toy book that you guys already got in the mail. We got one coming here, I believe, too. Actually was put in anybody who wants the 2020 toy book that actually has the holiday guide. It's packaged in with Parents Magazine this month.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
So there's that. And dude, I was all jealous. Our buddy James over here, the Toy Insider, Pop Insider, I saw. Did you see what he got in the mail this week?
No, what?
He got a box from Hasbro that says The Mandalorian on top. And it was basically all of the holiday Mandalorian toys.
Oh, nice.
He showed inside the box, and there was just figures everywhere.
Man.
So, but check them out. That's The Pop Insider and The Toy Insider, both.com, or just search them. You'll find them there. Other than that, for Dawn and Kylan and Vicky and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.